Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please rise as you're able for the call to worship? The call to worship today is from Psalm 124. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false or swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord.
Let us seek the face of the God of Jacob and worship together in the company of all the saints who believe. People of God, welcome home. The hymn is number 8, verses 1 through 3. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates.
If we claim to be without sin, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. In that spirit of honest confession, let us come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, we admit that we do not open our hearts to your presence. Your grace and love seem foreign to us, and we resist. We glorify earthly crowns, and we seek worldly treasures. Have mercy on us, help us to grow in faith, and move closer to you. Amen. Hear these words from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to God. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this service of worship at Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church. It's good to have you here, that we are here together to begin a week of thanks in our church home and with those with whom we share faith in God. I want to thank Susie Givens for the harvest table this morning. It is beautiful, and you might want any excuse to come forward and just take a look at it. It's a beautiful cornucopia of blessings and reminds us of the richness of the harvest that we all enjoy. Things going on this morning. This morning we will dedicate our commitment cards for the church for financial faithfulness through 2022. If you didn't remember your card from home, there are some of these cards on the little table in front here or also in the narthex. I think there's some still in the narthex. If you would like, since during COVID protocols, we are not passing the plate around, but if you are coming forward with your offering in the gold plate, I invite you to also bring forth your pledge for 2022 and put it in the white basket so that we can plan on the church's mission and ministries in the coming year. This is also an order Sunday for our fresh roast coffee. We'll be taking those orders in Fellowship Hall, $8 for half a pound of coffee, and you have several varieties from which to choose, and the proceeds from this goes to support our general fund of the church. And I wanted to say, I heard this on the radio this morning, if you can't see us in person, or maybe it was on TV, if you can't see us in person, you can hear us online. On our church website, we have an audio recording podcast format of the church worship services. And you just click there on the website on the Sunday that you would like to hear, and you can share in the audio recording of our church worship service. And then I would remind you that in 2 weeks, we will be having our alternative Christmas, our Christmas alternative market after worship, where we will highlight a number of the ministries that we support through the church and around our community. That will be coming up after worship on December 5th. As I mentioned, there are a number of things that we're doing under COVID protocols. We are wearing our masks. We are singing only two verses of our hymns. We are not passing the offering plate around, and we're not greeting one another as we are wont to do during the worship service. But is there any newcomers that you would like to introduce this morning? As we come to our time of prayer, actually, I want to welcome Al Arboleda. He's here this morning after being moved from over to the west side. He got over here to the east side, and we're glad you found the way. Good to see you again, Al. As we come to our time of prayer, there are a number of folks we want to keep on our prayers, and I need to tell you that sorrow has come into the life of our church family since last we met. Carl Neuenfeld, after his hospitalization, died Thursday afternoon. He took a turn for the worse later in the week. But we do want to keep his family, his sisters, and all of the folks who knew and appreciated Carl in our prayers. And the choir particularly remembers Carl as one of our choir members, and his choir robe is draped on the chair where he would have sat amongst the choir this morning. Also, in another sorrow I need to share with you, Mickey Clark died on Wednesday morning this last week. Mickey had moved up to Vancouver. She was with her family, died at home, and we want to keep Mickey's family in our prayers. And also, Gail Steinman's husband, Al, and that is Darlene Brown's brother-in-law, Al died this week. So keep all those families in your prayers. This is not, there are so many reasons why a death at this time of year is more poignant, and especially under the conditions that we are committed to. So keep those folks in your prayers. Also need to keep Marilyn Barnhart in our prayers. She moved from the hospital to acute care and rehab at Providence. But she seems to be doing well. She's got a lot of physical therapy going on, and she's even happy that she has a lot of physical therapy going on. So keep Marilyn in your prayers, as well as Irma Nesheim, who is at the Fairlawn Village out in Gresham, and she recovers from her car accident. Charles Barnes would like you to share in his prayers for finances and money from God in this season. And I have a joy that I would like to share with you. In our neighborhood, actually, our neighbors across the street welcomed a new member to their family. Logan Wolf was born on Wednesday, and she is the daughter of Charlie and Nate Wolf, who Charlie's been to this church growing up many times, and joins Brother Hudson and Sister PJ in their family. And that is a joy in our household. Let's now continue with our service of worship. That would be you. As we share together our New Testament lesson from the book of Revelation, and it can be found on page 230 in your pew Bibles.
I'm sorry, I was slightly distracted. I don't know what, but I know. The New Testament lesson is from the book of Revelation and is found in chapter 1, verses 4b through 8. Listen for the word of God. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. May God bless to our understanding this portion of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you.
And in case you didn't remember, that was the anthem written in memory and dedicated to Elaine Schaff and her many, many years of service here at our church. And now let us draw near to one another as together we draw near to God in experiencing the presence and the power of corporate prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God Almighty. We gather together today to ask your blessing upon our lives and upon the gifts you have graciously showered in our lives. Thank you, God. Hear now our prayers. For all the things in our lives that give our lives joy and meaning, we give you thanks. We pray for the people in our lives, especially our families, and we ask your presence as we gather this week. Keep us safe if we travel. Keep us patient if we wear thin. Keep us enjoying each other and appreciating one another. We pray for our church, Savage Memorial Presbyterian, that as we gather in faith as the body of Christ, we might encourage and support one another in growing faithfulness and unified purpose, showing the truth of Christ's love in our lives. And in our individual lives, O Lord, give us grateful hearts. Do not let us get caught up in fleeting details or in the cacophony of culture or in the discouraging news that is all around us. Lift our hearts and bind us together in Christian love. For those individuals who fill our lives, we give you thanks, even in times when they are suffering. We pray for those folks who are struggling in life today, who face the pain of loss or mental trials or the impairment of ill health. We remember those who are sick, who are failing, who are lonely or in grief today and this week. We lift up particularly the families of Carl and Mickey and Al. And we pray for Marilyn and Irma and financial needs and those we now name in our hearts. Let them feel your presence with us, O Lord, and bind us together with them in Christian love. For a world of harvest beauty and the beautiful diversity of its people, O Lord, we give you thanks. We pray for folks working to combat climate change. We pray for servicemen and women and their families, especially those on duty far from home. We pray for the President, Mr. Joe Biden, and for the Congress in all its flaws and all its aspirations. We pray for government officials in Portland, particularly the police officers, and for the demonstrators and the businesses downtown, which in so many ways color our identity as a city. O Lord, we are not Belarus or North Korea or Russia or the Ukraine or Haiti. And for that matter, we are so thankful. Yet it means we are even more obligated to leverage the blessings which you have provided for us, for which our forebears prayed and fought and built. And so as we continue to remember the 17 hostage missionaries in Haiti, let us not be held hostage by our affluence or our comforts. In gratitude, let us strive to share the blessings of freedom of faith, of opportunity, of hope with a weary and wanting world. Let us continue to be your thankful people and come in commitment to mission, bind us together in Christian love.
We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our sovereign Lord, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in power, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together now hymn number 438, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, verses 1 and 2. May be seated. Our gospel lesson suggested for this Sunday in the church year comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Listen as together we hear the word of God. This is part of Jesus' trial before Pilate.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, on this morning that you've given us, grant us a word for our hearts and hearts for your word. Amen. I mentioned that this reading from John is recommended for this Sunday in the church year, and this is the last Sunday in the church year. It is designated the Reign of Christ Sunday, or what used to be called Christ the King Sunday. It should also be Harvest Dinner Sunday, but we won't dwell on that. We will simply look forward to next year when we can celebrate properly so many, many things that we have given up. For Presbyterians, Reign of Christ Sunday centers rather than on the baby Jesus like Advent and Christmas, this centers on the risen Christ, whom God exalted to rule over the whole universe. It recalls history, the Transfiguration and Easter and the Ascension of Jesus, and also points ahead to the returning of Christ, coming with the clouds in glory. As the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Christ is the center of our universe, the ruler and center of all history. In the end, Christ will triumph over all the forces of evil. But it doesn't always look that way. We know that in every generation, demagogues and pretenders emerge to claim an allegiance that belongs only to God. But Christ alone has the right to claim our highest loyalty. Whether it is the testimony of history or the blood of martyrs, past and present, we are the hearers of the truth of Christ. And having heard the good news of Christ, who we declare Jesus to be defines who we are. Who we declare Jesus to be defines who we are. Let's consider that this morning as you answer the question, who's your king? When Jesus is first brought before Pilate in the Gospel of John, it becomes quickly clear that Jesus and Pilate were speaking on two different levels. And it's hard for us to understand, in part because we have 2,000 years and two continents and an ocean separating us and the realities of their lives in biblical times in Palestine. Yet the uniting concept for all of Jesus' disciples is truth. Jesus declared that this was the reason he was born. This was the reason he came into the world, to testify to the truth. Now, there's a very distinct difference between assessing facts and finding the truth. Pilate represents truth as an intellectual kind of understanding. And Jesus represents truth as revelation, as a light that comes to us. In our lives and in our understanding of the meaning of life, intellectual, fact-based truth does not fulfill all our needs. For our lives to be more fulfilling, we need something more motivating. For believers in Christ, truth is a stimulant for faithful living. Truth is something we do, less something that we record in a book, more something that we live out. Emily Towns, who is a professor of theology and African American religion at Yale Divinity School, says that living anew the truth found in Christ sets us free to discover God's will in a future that is open to possibility. So many times we view the truth as something that is an end. That this is true. The jury has spoken. That settles it. The truth found in Christ is much more of a beginning. In living out, in doing the truth, Jesus' disciples find our place in God's work and God's plan for history. In this sense, truth is not so much a set fact, but it is put in contrast with unrighteousness. In many circumstances, being righteous means being true, not being fake, walking the walk. And Susan and I heard this years ago when we visited the chaplain at San Quentin Prison. The trustees, the inmates who showed us around and were supposed to protect us, said the main quality to get by, to live out your sentence in prison, was that kind of righteousness. If you claimed to be the toughest sucker in the prison yard, you had better be that. If you claim to have connections, you better have them. And if you claim to be a Christian, following Christ's way at work and attending the prison chapel, then you had better be true to that identity, not saying one thing and doing another. That's what they meant by righteousness. In many ways, that's true for those of us on the outside as well. The truth we receive in Christ stimulates us for faithful living. It's not like we're going to get shanked for unrighteousness, like being in prison, or maybe it is. In any case, declaring Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life is actually three ways of saying the very same thing. Jesus came as witness to testify to the truth, while at the same time, he is the truth. He is God revealed. In verse 37 of John 18, Jesus says that everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And I do not know if that's a first century Palestine construction, but when we say he listens, I think it means that the person hears and heeds as well. When we do that, we belong to Jesus' kingdom. It's kind of a foreign concept for those of us who've never lived in a kingdom, an earthly kingdom with a king or a queen. Yet it is totally different from those kind of earthly kingdoms, as Jesus tried to explain to Pilate. Jesus' kingdom, his sphere of truth, is not bound by geographical or chronological dates of how long of a reign. Jesus' kingdom occurs to all who both hear and heed his voice. Roger Nishioka says that belonging to that kingdom is less about individual decisions than it is more about a collective participation in a community that transcends the self. Jesus himself, in his life and death, his body and blood, unites us to be members of his kingdom. His glory and his dominion is everywhere and forever. And when we accept that we are, what, citizens of Jesus' kingdom, we have to reject anything or anybody else that claims to have absolute authority over us. And that opens us to a kind of joy that is unmatched. A person named Dr. S.M. Lockridge of Texas put it this way, referring to Jesus the King. He said, his life is matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, his love never changes. His word is enough, his grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, Dr. Lockridge says, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He is invincible. He is irresistible. I'm trying to tell you the heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. The Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses at his trial couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's our king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he who had no predecessor and who has no successor. There was nobody before him, and there will be nobody after him. Alpha and Omega. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's our king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, then, all that power belongs to our king. We around here talk about black power or white power and green power, renewable power, but it's God's power. It's all God's power. Thine is the power and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory to ourselves, but it's all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? Forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then amen, and the glory is still his. Well, I really should have had a southern accent to share that. But that is the kingdom. That is the king to whom we belong. That's a lot to take in, and so I will take a break with Thanksgiving dad jokes. Do you know what kind of music the pilgrims listened to? Plymouth rock. That's right. What's the difference between a pirate and a cranberry farmer? A pirate buries his treasure, and a cranberry farmer treasures his berries. And what did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day? Quack, quack. That's the one I really wanted to get to. Because we can talk the duck talk all we want, but if we trot the turkey trot, that will reveal our true identity. Particularly on Thanksgiving, we want to live that sense of gratitude to God that we speak out on this particular day of the year. Living out the truth in Christ, which we find together, sets us free. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "If you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." As denizens of Christ's kingdom, we are freed from the slavery to sin. We are freed from trying to please everyone else. We are freed from self-reliance and self-promotion and self-centeredness of all kinds. We belong not to ourselves, but to Christ and his kingdom. We are freed not so much from the past, but from all the constraints of time. We are freed from our own past and from having to live down our past. We are freed from ensuring our own future. The future is pregnant, ripe with possibilities, for nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. And all that motivates us to live grateful, thankful lives. A philosophy major named Frank Thomas, not the Big Hurt, but Frank Thomas talks about searching for truth for a long time, reading Aristotle, Descartes, Kant, Nietzsche, but the truth he was looking for was not to be found in those teachings. He went through to seminary teaching truth in the tracts of theology and Hebrew and Greek readings of the Bible. There he almost found truth. He began the work of a pastor and thought that in the fellowship of the saints he could find truth. He found some truth there, but his soul was still not at rest. He went into personal counseling and therapy, thinking that if he resolved what had wounded him in his past, he would find truth. It helped some, he says, but after he found out what truly messed him up, in his childhood, he found out that he did not have the power on his own to forgive any of those people who had wronged him in the past. It finally dawned on Frank Thomas that his very first Sunday school teacher, Miss Monroe, an older white woman who taught black kids at Sunday school on the south side of Chicago in a neighborhood in transition, Miss Monroe had told him what truth is. She said, "Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus loves you." She told him that in all righteousness, and at 8 years old, Frank Thomas believed what she said. He believed Jesus. And the philosophy student, the seminary-trained pastoral minister with experience in therapy came back to that truth in the maturity of adults seeking truth. And thank God that truth is not a doctrine or a set of facts or a political system, but it is a person who lives today. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Next Sunday begins the season of Advent, when we remember this history of a child born in Bethlehem, born to set his people free. This Jesus whom we crucified has ascended into heaven to reign with God and the Holy Spirit in power, and he will come again in glory to unite heaven and earth. To know that this God reigns eternally, freed from the constraints of time, provides us reassurance and confidence for those suffering from a seemingly indifferent sweep of history throughout the facts of their lives. And it frees us to embrace an envisioned future of renewal and joy and reconciled completion that God has prepared for us. Heaven and earth will come together in the fullness of time, and every eye will see him. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you for calling us to be a part of your reign in this world, that which is to come and which is already here. And so make us thankful and hopeful and joyful. Amen. Again, we are not passing out around our offering plates today, but I invite you, either during the offertory or at the conclusion of the service, to bring your offerings to the offering plates in the front or the back of the sanctuary, as well as your commitment cards for 2022, as we present to Almighty God our tithes, our pledges, and our offerings.
Please pray with me. God of all creation, it is with hearts filled with gratitude that we bring our pledges and offerings to you this morning. There is so much for which to be thankful. Indeed, our blessings overflow like the fruit and vegetables on this beautiful harvest table. Even so, these pandemic times are also troubled times. There is fear of the unknown and anxiety from frequent news bulletins of unsettled societal conflicts. Many among us struggle with worry, anxiety, and depression. As we go out from this place today, help us to remember perhaps the greatest blessing of all, the knowledge that the future is held in your hands, guided by your love and directed toward the fulfillment of a world of justice and peace. Amen.
And now go, reach out into the world. Declare where your loyalty lies, where you belong, and where your love guides you. And as you go forth, follow the Holy Spirit that leads you. Know that God's righteousness will strengthen you and keep you. Know that God will instruct you and show you the way to go. Wherever you journey, God sees you and celebrates that you are alive, giving thanks for you. Amen.